G'day and welcome to Perth Property Insider. I'm your host, Jared Mann, and today I'm especially excited to be bringing you my first Perth market update for 2021, where I'll be giving you what I expect for the outlook ahead, and I'll be covering both the sale market, the rental market, what's happening out there, as well as inside our portfolio. And I'll also be going through some of the factors on the table for the state election, which are going to be pretty important for property if either party can get behind. And finally, I'll cover off the actions you should be considering, as well as my crystal ball for the year ahead. Let's go inside.
Welcome to Perth Property Insider, where you will learn how to grow your wealth and improve your life using Perth Property. Our show is brought to you by Investors Edge Real Estate, the highly rated and award-winning property management specialist servicing the whole of Perth. Now, here is your host, Jared Mann.
So let's get stuck into it, shall we? First of all, the Perth sale market. Now, I've got a lot to tell you about in here. When we look at the number of properties for sale, I was not entirely surprised, but pretty astounded that the number for sale has hit all-time low as long as I've been recording my stats as diligently as I have for the last 7 years. We've hit 8,312, and we were only at this point, or very much in line with this, in one of the months back in 2013. We're pushing into uncharted territory as far as I've ever been recording, and it's certainly testament to us fully being around in a new cycle and in upward market ahead. So when you compare the number of properties for sale on 6 months ago, we're down 20%. And on a year ago, we're down 34%, which is massive. And for those watching the video, you can see the significant downward trend. And that started in approximately March of 2019 and has been continuing at the same rate down in tightening our overall supply since then. So the other side to that equation is the number of properties being sold week on week. And the surprising thing was that sales actually continued really late in the year, all the way into December, right through. There was a lot more sales that happened this year. And I was expecting that because, let's face it, we didn't have our holidays and other things to go on. Those that were wanting to still buy a home, there was listings that did come up quickly sold through that period for the most part. And you can see that compared to the same time last year in January of 2020, we're 28% up on our week-on-week sales. So all is looking very strong on the demand side of things as well with properties being sold. Now, when we go into the median house price, we don't yet have data for our December quarter. But just touching on what I mentioned in my last update, we've hit 480, and I do expect to see the median house price coming back strongly in the months ahead. Now, keep in mind the median price does lag the overall other indicators, and there can still be some suburbs that aren't performing as well that counter the price increases that are happening in others. So when we look at the overall median, it doesn't always show up straight away the price increases are happening. Of course, if we look down at your suburb level, many suburbs at the moment are already experiencing strong growth. Certainly the western suburbs and coastal suburbs, family-friendly areas, all houses in those areas experiencing strong growth. And they probably had, in most cases, 10 to 15% growth last year. That may be a surprise to some people. And the outer areas now are already moving around into growth as well. So even on 3 or 4 months ago, I've looked at some properties for people that are looking at selling, and they're trying to wait until we can get the price and be sure that we're getting enough for them to move forward. And even in 3 or 4 months, some properties in the outer areas have come back 5 to 10%. So that is in a short time period and really encouraging to see the growth spreading to those outer areas now and not just the coastal and western suburbs. Are units being forgotten? Well, for the most part, they are still, especially in those areas that there's a lot of supply. But in some of the more trendy and, I guess, desirable areas, units are starting to slowly edge up. But as is the case when a market turns, there's often a lot of supply of people that would sell if they could sell. So that needs to wash through and, you know, get taken up in demand before we start seeing the price pressure increase things. But it can happen pretty quickly, as I'm seeing in the outer areas. In just a space of a 3 or 4 month period, it can get tightened up. And what I expect is now that investors are coming into the market full on, coming into our market, and now that renters are starting to get their price increase notifications in their emails, all of ours have been getting their increases notified. So we have to give a 60-day notice on rental increases. And as they the reality starts to hit home that renting is going to be more expensive than the incentive and the motivation to get out of renting is going to be there. And of course, people aren't going to predominantly be going to buying new this time. They're going to be going into established. So as I've been explaining to a lot of our clients that have these middle sort of priced properties and the outer area properties, I've been explaining to those people that they're going to benefit most from the next 6 to 12 months as those tenants get into buying established, and as investors get into buying and entering the market too. And many investors buy around that middle 400 to 600K price point as well. So that's where the second wave, if you like, is going to come from, who it's going to be fueled by. And we'll keep seeing the upper end family friendly markets being driven by those homeowner upgraders. And that's going to continue well and truly as well. So when we look at the unit sales, are still quite a steep downward trend to September at 375,000 median house price. And I suspect that's got a little further to go before it fully levels out and starts coming back. With the land sales, we hit 250, just over 250,000 for the average block. And that was certainly driven up by these building grants. And I expect that to taper off now that the building grants phasing out or entirely gone in the case of our state building grant is now ended. So when we look at the average selling days on market, this is for September quarter as well, when the December quarter will be coming through over the next month or so. But to September, we were at 30 days on market, which is extremely tight. And as I'm looking into individual suburbs and I observe the trend in the number of days, so that's really key to seeing is the suburb turning around and which way is the trend going. We can see the majority of suburbs are certainly tightening up now. And once they get sort of below 35 days, certainly below 30 days, then there's upward pressure on prices and properties are getting snapped up really quickly. So I expect to see that average selling days continue to decrease, especially as these outer areas tighten up as well. Now, the rental market. Oh, so much going on to tell you about in here. Unprecedented times for our rental market, certainly in the 13-odd years that I've had my agency here at Investor's Edge. We've only got 11 properties for rent total out of our portfolio. Now, this is usually one of our busiest and peak times of the year coming up over the next month. And just don't see the same volumes going to be turning over. A lot of tenants are still sitting tight and I guess staying where they otherwise might be moving because it is still hard for tenants to find properties. It's very hard, probably understated that. So the number for rent, if you just imagine number for rent is how many properties are on market. We hit a record low. And it was considerably lower than my previous low back in September 2013. We hit 2,723 in December. And that as well has been caused by lots of tenancies continuing to be leased well into December. So we were leasing stuff on Christmas Eve, leasing stuff, you know, day after Boxing Day, all the way through. So every time a property comes on market, we're generally, our average leasing time at the moment's 9 days. So that's still significantly, I guess, below where a lot of agents, how quick a lot of agents are leasing. So it does pay to have a good property manager to save you vacancy on the front end. Now, we can see that the number for rent has decreased 26% over the last 6 months, and it's 53% down on a year ago. So 50% less properties for tenants to choose from. That's probably why they are staying put. And hopefully when we see the moratorium lift and we see investors get a bit more confidence, they're already coming back to the market to add rentals to that market pool. But we just really do need more options available for tenants to more readily move. Makes it very difficult when their property is being sold and they have to move out, and or if the we'll have quite a few of our owners potentially wanting to move back in when the moratorium lifts as well. And so there's going to be a fair bit of disturbance come the end of March when this does lift. But I seriously hope the state government does not extend the moratorium. There's absolutely no grounds for it. They should just focus their support on any people that are genuinely affected by COVID and allow the market forces to rebalance things. So I'm going to touch on later in this episode a number of things that REWA, the Real Estate Institute of WA, is calling for, both state governments, both the current state government and the other liberals that are up for election, to, you know, make some commitments as far as real estate policy goes. And that's going to be very key to shaping our markets. I'm going to touch on those very soon. Now, when we look at the vacancy rate, our vacancy rate is at 0.15% compared to the overall Perth vacancy rate at 0.9%. So we're running a very tight ship, considerably tighter than the overall market too. You can see that it's actually decreased 55% as well on the last 6 months, and 62% on a year ago. So that tells us that the tightness in our market has really come over the last 6 months predominantly. And my December to Jan stats at 0.9, that's my predicted based on a number of sources. We haven't had the official stats come out yet from REWA, but I'm expecting that's where it's going to land, if not slightly lower. So when we look at our average rent for our portfolio, we're currently sitting at $357.50. And yes, I keep a strong eye on this because it obviously affects our income that we generate as well as that for our landlords. So we're both in the same corner there. And so that tells us we haven't really seen an increase into the overall average rents for most owners yet. We've seen it nudge up from 350 at its lowest. We're now at 357 odd, and we've got a long way to actually go to get it in line with market. So that's why we're typically issuing between 10 and 20% rises in rent for the average tenant. Some tenants will be getting 30%, and if they had to move, they're going to have to pay comparable to that plus their moving costs. So it certainly makes sense to stay there if they can readjust their budgets and afford it. Obviously, where someone can't afford it, we can enter into deeper discussions as to, you know, if we can keep them as a tenant. We'd certainly love to you know, keep working with all our wonderful tenants. And you can see our predicted average rent for the market now is $420 per week. So that's gone up considerably, almost 20% from the $350. Well, that is 20%, gone up $350 to $420 already. That is from our absolute low, but it's 13% from 6 months ago. So property clock timing. Now, no major changes, obviously, for Perth and Southwest WA. We're still labelled as being start of recovery. So that really shows us how much upside is still ahead. We've still got to move around into a rising market as an official, you know, state, and then approaching peak of market. So we've still got plenty of upside for anyone that wants to enter and benefit from the growth ahead. Now, the key and notable changes to the overall capital cities is Sydney's amount now moved into bottom of market. So that certainly goes through its cycles a lot quicker than Perth did. And it's interesting to see how quickly it has gone through its cycles. And Melbourne has also moved around now into starting of recovery. And Brisbane and Cairns have moved around into rising market, slightly ahead of Perth in its cycle. So they've moved around from start of recovery last month into a rising market now. lots of opportunity ahead for Perth, and you'd have to think about also taking a look at Melbourne, Brisbane, and if you like to go countercyclic to things a bit, Sydney could be worth checking out as well if you've got the dollars for it, but certainly very expensive there still. Now, when we look at the national property clock for units, Perth's still in a declining market, unfortunately, for any unit holders out there. Sydney's already moved around to approaching the bottom of the market. That was a change this month, and Melbourne has been moved around to bottom of markets. So Perth's really sticking it out there in the declining unit side. Now, let's go into some of the factors affecting our market outlook for 2021. And this is particularly important. So we've got our federal grant now that has been reduced to $15,000, and that's still available for building grants until the 31st of March, but it is only available to home buyers and it's means tested. So it's really not having much of an impact on the buying decisions in the market anymore. It's a nice little bonus for a home buyer to get it, but the majority of the action all came previously when the state grant of $25,000 also applied. That's no longer available. And it was very interesting to see that the first home buyer grant actually hit a record high, like ever, the most number given out in December 2020. So 1,642 grants in a single month. And that's a combination, obviously, of people that are building and buying established. So it just shows that there's a lot of activity in that first home buyer's market and setting a record, which I thought was pretty impressive. And land, for the most part, has become very hard to sell again, especially if there's a lot of supply around any individual area. And there's little to no buyers left in, I guess, most areas, unless, you know, if land's really tight and it's in a prime location, you'll always be able to sell it. And it's always going to be in demand. But in these outer areas and where there's lots of land supply, there's virtually little to no buyers there now. So the availability of finance, that always has a big impact. Liquidity that's out there has a huge impact on, you know, people's abilities to purchase property. I know that sounds obvious, but when it's harder, less people are investing, less people are buying homes. And I guess compared to my last update, there's no major changes here, but we are approaching the changes to the responsible lending in March. I'm looking forward to that. Personally, I'm going through finance at the moment and it's just been incredibly painful. The kinds of queries they come back with is just beyond me. It's so inconsequential, but they're going down to the nth degree of dotting their I's and crossing their T's. And yes, we did end up finding a home to buy in Wembley in December. So fingers crossed for us. We're still in the anxious wait of waiting for finance. And it certainly reminds me of what all my buyers go through. And it's never fun, is it? Outlook ahead still for finance is that Macquarie are forecasting 5 years of low interest rates. The RBA has said at least 3 years of interest rates. I'm thinking that it'll probably be more, at least three, because everything seems to be bouncing back sooner and recovering faster than all of the forecasts predict. So ideally, you should be paying under 3% on all your loans and go back and ask your existing lender for a reduction, even if you aren't able to change. And if you need to speak to a good finance broker, let me know. I can connect you with one. So economic forecasts for WA, I've been diving into our state government statistics. And the interesting thing is we have met or exceeded all estimates so far in all the key areas. So our unemployment finished the year at 6.1%. We're expecting it to kind of peak at 7%. And just for some comparison, we were at 5.8% in January 2020 before we went into all of this. So we're only marginally up on that. And they're expecting the 2021-2022 financial year to be back at 6%, which is on par with where we were at in January. And then they're expecting that to continue to go down 5.5% in the following other few years. So they're seeing a lot of jobs in the pipeline that are being created, which is great. They're still expecting to have a population increase of 0.8% over 2020-2021. And a lot of that is going to be coming from interstate migration. And, you know, if you're going to move across to WA, yeah, the borders keep changing like a Christmas light, you know, with all the statuses. So I'll touch on that in a minute. But the interstate migration is really key and critical for WA, as well as getting our overseas migrants. But the overseas migrants were at least still a positive net gain for us, as in they were still increasing over the last few years and still adding to our population, but we actually had an outflowing of interstate migration over the last few years. So if we can get both back to being positive and increasing, then that will certainly be putting extra pressure on housing. Rentals felt first because tenants, new entrants to the state usually rent first before deciding where to buy. And then usually the lower end areas typically benefit most from population increases because, let's face it, unless you're a wealthy migrant, you come on and you over and you start and you work your way up. So that's why the higher end areas don't really get affected as much by population growth. It's more the outer areas and the rental market. So some other interesting statistics here. Is our state final demand and gross state product, which is really the measures of how much we're putting out and how much demand there is, they've remained entirely positive throughout this whole period. So they haven't dropped off at all, and they're predicted to increase very strongly in 2021-2022, peaking, I guess, in those years. So we've certainly got a very strong financial year ahead after this one's done, if the forecasts are anything to go by. Now, policy changes and impacts. It's always an interesting time when we've got our state government election. And for those of you that don't know, I had to look up when it was as well, and it's the second Saturday in March, so not far away. And you can see from Facebook and the news that each party is pumping out their various policies and announcing this and announcing that. I had a scan through each of them. There's nothing, you know, terribly consequential towards property yet. But REWA is calling for policies to be focused on real estate. And we've seen how important real estate has been for holding up the net worth of all Australians. And some of the other states have already been making more significant changes to their, I guess, their real estate related policies. And it's time for WA to take a look at them, because they've been spoken about for, you know, a long time, decades in some cases, such as stamp duty reform. But we're just long overdue, and we really need to be strengthening, I guess, the demand around our property, ensuring that it supports everything else. And so that's why REWA is calling for stamp duty reform as their primary thing, where they see probably a two-stream revenue collection method being adopted, where someone could elect to pay it either upfront or ongoing in an annual payment. So that would, I guess, if we could spread it out and pay it back annually, it may help a lot of people get into the market and afford, you know, not have the barrier to entry being as high. So that's why so many people are in favour of reforming our stamp duty. And you would have seen that it was Victoria that has come out and reformed their duty towards the end of last year, and that's helped stimulate their market. So it's time for WA to take a serious look at its stamp duty, well overdue look at it. So some of the other things REWA was calling for is developing a plan to tackle the rental shortage, basically some things to encourage and incentivize investors towards established properties. And if any of that happens, God, that'll certainly pour fuel on the fire for a serious boom and definitely get the investors back in droves. So watch this space if any of the parties do announce a plan to tackle rental shortage. And it has to come down to, you know, getting more investors in, more rental properties. It's the only solution, really, isn't it? Other ones are creating local jobs by removing the stamp duty on the purchase of small business. So I don't know if you've never bought a business, the cost of stamp duty can be considerable as well. So they're talking about trying to phase that down. To give you an idea, a $5 million business, if sold at the moment, the buyer would have to pay $250,000 in stamp duty. So that equates to a huge amount of, you know, full-time jobs and trainees and other things they could otherwise be investing in their business. And it's critical for us to relook at making business easier for, you know, to get started, to purchase, to trade, and especially as many baby boomers are going to be exiting their business in the coming years. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now, they're calling for the formalizing of stamp duty rebates on off-the-plan purchases. So at the moment, you can get 75% off the duty for an off-the-plan property. They're calling that to become permanent. Now, in other states, such as Victoria, there is a discount and lesser duty to pay on off-the-plan, and that's been the case for a long time. It certainly helped and incentivizes those markets to, you know, buyers to enter and look at off-the-plan. Look, we do need off-the-plan, and we do need increasing density where, you know, we've got the infrastructure. So it's a smart idea in that sense, but you do have to wonder what's the motivation behind the other motivations behind calling for this. You know, you'd imagine the big high density unit developers are lobbying for this one. And I guess it's not 100% needed at the moment because we've still got an oversupply of units in Perth. So important, I guess, to lock in to help, you know, areas continue to increase their density and combat urban sprawl, but not as important to me as the other ones that I mentioned. Now, I'm not going to go through the WA border changes specifically other than to say that if someone really wants to migrate across to Perth, it's not a big deal because they'll wait their 14 days in isolation if they have to, and they'll then begin their lives in Perth. So come on over, guys. We've got plenty of jobs for you. Now, I've touched on throughout this episode the Residential Tenancies Act moratorium that ends on the 28th of March. So it's not likely to be extended. And main issues at the moment is that we can't increase rent on existing tenants. And tenants have been able to end a fixed term lease with 21 days notice if they've been affected by COVID. So that's not such a bad thing. But it has really messed around owners that want to move back into their properties, or owners that, you know, it's made it much more difficult to sell and come to, you know, terms with these things. So that's hopefully going to all end and go back to the, you know, market forces having their way. Tips to survive and thrive in 2021. I'd definitely be considering the upgrade of your home sooner rather than later, because if you are upgrading, the upper areas are going to do better sooner. So you look, you can't always wait for your price without considering that what's going to happen to the place that you're buying. So give that serious thought if you are looking at doing it. And I would certainly, if you haven't already, I would be giving strong thought to buying an investment property in the best area that you can afford. There's no doubt in my mind that we're entering an upcycle, entering a boom period ahead, and you need to get in now to make the most of it. So I can't see anything stopping us. And if you do have existing properties that your lending, you know, is going to be based on, I would be getting appraisals now to see if you can access the equity. You may be surprised at where the prices have come back to. So I'm obviously available to give anyone an appraisal. Just go to our website and request one, or reply to this email if you've gotten one. And the outer areas now, as I alluded to earlier, are starting to see increased buyer activity. And if you're wanting to sell in those areas, consider doing so now. I guess it all depends what your plan is and your reason for selling, and just making sure that you're going to, you know, either reinvest or make good use of your funds. Because if you've held on for the last 5 to 10 years, why would you sell when things are just going to start growing strongly for at least the next 2 to 3 years? If you have a price in mind that you need, make sure you get in touch with me for regular price updates over the next every 3 to 4 months. Then we can see when we get to your price with confidence, and we can go and get the very best from the market for you if that's what you want to do. So my crystal ball, I haven't changed it hugely on a couple of months ago when I did my last update. I expect rents will increase 20 to 30% over the next 12 months before easing of some pressure. There'll be a lull in the land of new home sales and new home sales from now on. Investors have started to come back to the market strongly, and we're seeing a recovery. I guess they're seeing the recovery of the great rental market and good prospects for growth. So there's no stopping them now. The established homes and units in the affordable areas. So this is, they're also starting to experience growth. So some of the units in the more trendy and desirable locations are experiencing growth again. And our established homes in the outer areas are experiencing growth again. And I expect, for the most part, those to get 10% growth for 2021. And I expect prices will continue to rise in those inner coastal and well-established areas with the good schools, and they'll likely receive at least 15 to 20% growth for 2021. And you'd have to imagine as well that in my crystal ball, I mentioned that immigrants are being drawn to Australia for its robust economy and low COVID-19 instances. I think that's only going to help us recover even faster. So that's the end of my market update. Thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you go to www.investorsedge.com/join. It's where you'll get notified of all of our weekly podcasts and all of my events and various things that we do. So make sure you jump on there. If you do want a sales appraisal, go to our website, investorsedge.com.au, go to the sales menu and click request an appraisal. Love to help you there. And if you're pondering, I guess, your strategy for how best to invest, I have a number of ways that we can help, from one-on-one mentoring on a monthly basis or strategic advice that is as you need it. So get in touch if you're an existing property management client. For the most part, I don't charge for strategic advice. So always happy to help our existing clients and anyone new. Got a modest charge there, and I'm sure I can help and be well worth the money and saving you costly mistakes and making sure you, you know, choose the right areas, the right properties, and the drop in the bucket in terms of the overall scheme of what you can do in the next 2 to 3 years. So as a final remark, if you're enjoying my podcast episodes, I'd really appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes and or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. So again, giving us a thumbs up on there. Thanks heaps, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.